All right, well, hey, listen, I know you guys, you know, those of you, you know, none of you came for free hamburgers and free hot dogs. I know that. You didn't want that. You came for the word of God, so, right? That's right. Amen. You're like, Pastor Lee, no, man, no, I came for the hot dogs. Okay, that's all right. You're going to get the word of God, too. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go before the Lord. I'm going to pray. So would you join me? Let's stand as we go before the Lord and honor the Lord in reverence and in prayer. Father God, we go before you today, Lord, and we come before you, Lord. I thank you for your place in this place. God, I thank you that Jesus Christ is the senior leader of this church. God, I thank you that we don't come into this place to hear from a man or to hear from a woman or to hear from a band. Lord, we don't come into this place to be entertained, but thank God we can have fun in the church. But Lord, we come into this place to hear from you. And we fully acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the senior leader of this church. And Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear the word that you have us to hear today, Lord, that we would leave this place impacted and prepared to do what you have called us to do, to live how you have called us to live, to be examples to those that we are around, Father, to our schools, to our workplaces, to our families, and to our friends. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. We all said, amen. Amen. Well, praise God. I know that, you know, if you were like me, I skipped my pre-service dinner because I was like, I'm going to eat a hamburger tonight. So I know you're probably, your stomachs are probably grumbling. Mine's grumbling too. I know my man Brando is right now. He's out there cooking hamburgers. I know Antonio's out there, I think, with Brandon cooking y'all some hamburgers and hot dogs right now. So listen, I know you're like, Pastor Luke, let's get going. Let's get going. All right, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 6th chapter. I got a little Bible study tonight. I don't want to take a lot of your time because I know you're thinking about food. And the longer I preach, the less you pay attention when there's food outside. So I know I'm not dumb. So let's go. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter. I'm going to take you to a familiar verse. It's kind of been the thing I've been doing lately. If you haven't noticed, I took you to some familiar verses last week, 2 weeks ago. Last week was Hot Topic Night. Praise God. Now tonight I want to take you to another familiar verse. Matthew, the 6th chapter, 33rd verse. Here Jesus Christ is preaching. He's continuing what we call his Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching the people. Now I want to show you some things. This is a verse I wanted to bring to you, just some simple thoughts tonight. And here we pick up in Matthew, the 6th chapter. I want to pick up in verse number 31. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse number 31. Jesus Christ is teaching. If your Bible is words of Christ are in red, the whole chapter is red because this is Jesus' sermon. And he goes on in verse number 31. And he says, therefore, do not worry. Now, I want to just make a little statement, just real quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but the word therefore, whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, you just think of it like this, it's there for a reason. And Jesus, what he said before this is that he was saying, hey, listen, you know, some of you guys worry about what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to do? How am I going to make money? How am I going to live? Who am I going to marry? Who am I going to date? You know, what's going to, no, okay, I paraphrase some of that. But he says, listen, there's all sorts of different things that you can worry about. And he says, you know, doesn't God know, you know, doesn't God take care of the birds and the beasts of the field? I mean, doesn't he take care of the birds that they eat and they feed their youngs? Doesn't he make sure that the flowers, aren't they clothed with beauty when they grow in a meadow? And he says, so if God will take care of the birds, God will take care of the flowers, don't you know that God will take care of you? Now he goes on to say, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Man, we worry about that stuff a lot. I'll tell you, probably, just to be honest with you, probably 99% of my arguments with this beautiful woman here on the front row, my lovely wife, Stacy, are what should we eat? I mean, her and I, we can go to town fighting. We can go through hell and back as a relationship, but if her and I try to get together and try to pick out where we're going to go and eat, it turns into a brawl because she's like, I don't know, what do you want to eat? And I'm like, I don't know, what do you want to eat? And then for 30 minutes, we waste our lunch hour talking about, so, hey, listen, it's amazing, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was preaching, but to you and I right now, you know what's the truth. You know that you and your schoolmates, you and your workmates are going like, hey, should we go to Chipotle today? Should we go to Subway? Oh, man, I only got $1.50. Should we go to the vending machine? And then you go to the vending machine, and you're like, what should we eat? Jesus knows what's going on, and he says, listen, don't worry about that. Verse number 32, he says, for all these things the Gentiles seek. Now, I have that highlighted in yellow because I'm gonna read through, and then I'm going to come back to that. He goes on to say, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse number 33 is probably like the life verse of my life. I remember my dad had a license plate when I was growing up that said Matt 633 on it. And when he would drive it around, and it was always posted up on the garage after he had sold the car, he kept the license plate. It was something my parents taught me as a kid. Matthew 6 chapter verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here Jesus Christ is saying, listen, don't worry about eating, don't worry about drinking, don't worry about what you're going to wear, don't worry about life, don't worry about who you're going to date, don't worry about who's going to be your sugar daddy or your sugar mama. Don't worry about that. He says, seek first. Put your priority on God. So the title of tonight's short message, I want to emphasize short, I don't want to spend a lot of time, is called Priorities. We have got to have our priorities in line. So today, Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33, Jesus is emphasizing seeking the kingdom of God first, making God a priority. But I want to bring a little insight to you really quickly, and I'm going to expound on this later on this week on Wednesday night service. This was my Bible study a few days ago, and I thought I'd bring this to you today, and then I'm going to come, if you want to hear more about this, on Wednesday night, next Wednesday, I'm going to bring more about this. But I thought it was so interesting as I was studying the Word of God. I've read Matthew, the 6th chapter, 33rd verse, thousands of times over in my life. I've memorized it. My parents made me memorize it as a little baby. You know, I've heard that. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. But I never really noticed the verse before that, where in Jesus Christ in verse 32 says, for after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Now, I want to give you a little bit of education just really quickly about some verbiage in the Bible. Now, you could call it Christianese. You read the Bible. Sometimes you read the Bible and you're like, man, what's a Gentile? I don't know what a Gentile is, because that's not a word that you and I use very often in our day and age. Well, let me tell you what a Gentile is. First of all, let me explain this to you, that this is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching to the people who are following him. At the time, those who are following him are Jews, okay? We understand the word Hebrews, Jews, whatever God's chosen people, think Israel, okay? They are Jews. So Jesus is talking to Jews when he's teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Now, you'll see the word Gentile throughout the New Testament. Jesus Christ said, I seek and save the lost. I came to the Jew at first, and then the Gentile. A Gentile is basically this to a Jew. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? To a Jew, a Gentile means. So to the people whom Jesus is talking about, a Gentile is this. A non-Jew. That's a pretty simple thought, right? Okay, so I don't want to blow your minds with all these theological depth, but I want to tell you, there's two categories to the Jews. You're a Jew or you're not a Jew. That's it. Okay, so Jesus is talking to the Jews, and Jesus to the Jews says, don't worry about everything else, because everybody who's not a Jew worries about that. Now you're like, wait a minute. Come on, man, what's up with that? Well, let me tell you why. A Gentile represents to a Jew something very significant. You see, at the time of Jesus' coming, the Jews were looking for a Savior, for a Messiah, that was sent to the chosen people, God's people, the Jewish people. So Jesus was the Messiah speaking to God's chosen people, and Jesus was saying to the people, listen, don't be like those who don't know God. You know what a Gentile is? A Gentile is somebody who doesn't know who God is, because they're not God's chosen people. They're outsiders. They didn't know God. They haven't experienced God. They weren't taught about God. So you could say that they were uninformed. They were uneducated people. So let's reread that now, verse number 32, with that thought in mind. Jesus Christ says, for after all these things, the Gentiles, the uneducated, the uninformed, seek. So Jesus Christ says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Why? Because you and I are people. We are chosen of God. We are ones, Gentiles, because, hey, I don't know about you. You might be Jewish. Great. Wonderful. I'm not. So, hey, listen, I was brought into the family of God. The Bible tells us more in depth in the book of Romans that we are brought into the family of God. We are now God's chosen people. So we are now part of the elite group of people who God has chosen. But now you and I can live a life. He says, listen, don't live a life of the uninformed. Don't live a life of the uneducated. So what I'm here to tell you tonight is Jesus goes on to say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what I want to tell you tonight is this, is that, listen, you don't have to go and crack open your Bible. You don't have to go and get a PhD in theology. You don't have to go get a master's of divinity. You don't need to go halfway across the world to a Bible college or to a seminary school and spend years in school to be informed and educated. All he's saying is the Jews knew something Through generations, the Jews had been told by their parents, by their parents' parents, by their parents' parents, and so forth, about the wonderful works of God, about how God came through with them, about the mighty acts of David, and how the about the wisdom of Solomon, and about the righteousness of Josiah and the different kings, and about how men and their ancestors went to God and turned from God, and went to God and turned from God. They were educated in the past. And because they were educated, they knew that God was a faithful God. They knew that God was able. They knew that God had them covered. And so because of their knowledge, because they weren't like the Gentiles, the uninformed, the uneducated, they could then seek first the kingdom of God. So when we hear that verse, seek first the kingdom of God, you'll hear people tell you that all the time. Oh, seek first the kingdom of God. How do we do that? First and foremost, we've got to be educated. We've got to build up our faith. You know, one of the things I notice as a pastor about this generation, about the generation even above us, you know, we have lost a lot of faith. The church looks towards, what's the answer? I tell you, my wife and I, we have realized that we have lost faith because of that little stinking device that we hold in our hand. The phone, the internet. The information age that we live in has taken away our faith. Now, I'm not on a soapbox. That's not what I'm here for, to tell you that, oh, no, that stuff's bad. But what I'm saying is that we have relied so much on, oh, you know what? I don't know the answer to that. Let me Google it really quick. We were talking about, I saw a person on a movie, and I was trying to figure out, what movie is that person in? And I go to IMDb on my phone, look it up. Oh, he was in this. I know. Oh, man, he cheated on his wife in 2004, and he was divorced over here. And I know his whole, within 35 seconds. And so the wealth of information at our fingertips has taken the ability for you and I as human beings to trust in something. We trust in our phones. Could you imagine? I was sitting at dinner with my wife last night. And I was thinking in my head, could you imagine what our life would be like if the internet was gone? Oh my gosh, I'm not trying to emphasize this. I'm telling you, that's kind of freaky if you think about it. Like if all of a sudden your iPhone or your Android or whatever else you got, your iPad, you turned it on and it just didn't turn on anymore. You're back, you got to go figure out how to like catch your dinner or something like that. I mean, we would die, right? Because you couldn't, okay, you're smart. You go out to the wilderness, you know, because you watch the Hunger Games, so you get yourself a bow and arrow, and you caught dinner. But hey, you don't got the internet anymore to Google, how do I cook a rabbit?
I don't know.
So we've lost our faith. You know, that's funny. I'm teasing with you. But the truth of the matter is that when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our walks with God, when it comes to what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What's going on Facebook? What's somebody else doing? What's so-and-so saying? What's so-and-so over here doing? Well, they're going to think this about me. They're going to think that I'm stiff-necked. They're going to think that I'm old school. You know what the bottom line is Jesus Christ says, listen, that's what the uninformed worry about. That's what the people who are uneducated worry about. You say, Pastor Luke, I'm not educated. I'm not talking about your PhD. I'm not talking about your degree. I'm talking about your knowledge of God. And when we grab a hold of our faith and we realize, hey, listen, guess what? God is faithful. Hey, guess what? You're going through a hard time? God will be there with you through it. He's not going to leave you. The Word of God says that He would never leave you or forsake you. Hey, guess what? You're going through some sickness? Guess what? God's wanting to heal you. And if we grab a hold of our faith and we grab a hold and we put aside what WebMD, oh man, I got a cough. What does WebMD say? Oh, you got laryngeal cancer. You better go to the doctor because you're going to die in 15 days. That's what the internet will do. It will rob you of your faith. Now, I'm not trying to get on a soapbox, but what I'm saying is to go back to the basics like Jesus Christ was talking about. They didn't have to go to school to know this stuff. They learned it from their parents' parents, through their generations. And you and I have got to just dig in, sit into the Word of God, hear it. Listen to the fact that the preacher tells you God is faithful. Experience it. Live it. Proclaim it. You may not think that it's the truth. Start speaking it. And God is faithful. I was just sharing with somebody today. I was answering those questions that y'all sent me by text message last week from the thing. I finally got to them. And I was telling somebody, I was answering. I don't even remember what the question was. But the Word of God says that He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of our sins. He's faithful. I was telling them, hey, listen, you got a problem? The Word of God tells us in the book of Romans that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Sometimes, and I learned this a long time ago, sometimes for me, I got to say it out loud what I'm reading so that I can hear it, so that I can get it, so that I can believe it. Sometimes people look at me when I'm reading the Word of God, I'm reading it out loud, and they're like, dude, this guy needs to learn how to read inside his head. What I'm doing is I'm saying it so that I can hear it, so that I can believe it, so that I can be educated about it, so that I can seek first the kingdom of God and not have to worry about everything else I'm doing. So that when my wife says, baby, I'm hungry, let's go get food, I don't have to worry about where I'm going to go, if I'm going to go to Rosa Maria's or if I'm going to go to Carl's Jr. I don't have to worry about that. Listen to me. When your finances are busted up, when the creditors are calling you, when your grades are slipping, when your attitude is dipping, man, I'm like getting Pentecost. I'm like Pastor Joey right now, huh? You don't have to worry about that. But put God as a priority in your life and allow God to say, hey, listen, stop worrying. Stop worrying. Stop worrying about it. But seek after God and trust that he'll be able. And one more verse I want to take you to. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians, the fourth chapter. This is an amazing verse. Philippians, the fourth chapter. I'll conclude on this. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Man, I should hear your pages turn. Y'all need to bring your Bibles. You say, Pastor Luke, I got it on my phone. Man, I did that like 2 weeks ago because Stacey, I texted her to bring my Bible when I was playing the guitar and she didn't get the text and I had to use my phone. All right, dude, listen, it's on your phone. Man, you're not going to hear a pastor say this from the pulpit, but the phone Bible sucks, all right? It's just nicer to have pages. You're like, Pastor Luke, I disagree. Okay, that's my opinion. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse number 6. Paul the Apostle is writing, and he says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Hey, listen to that, guys. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Listen, it will not make sense to you why your world is crumbling upon you. It will not make sense to the people around you why everything around you is falling apart. Yet, for some reason, you're cool about it. People will be like, dude, what's wrong with you? Don't you realize? Do you not care? Because the Bible says that the peace of God that surpasses understanding, it doesn't make sense to you, but it will come upon you. Why? With the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you seek first, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, seek first. Remember priorities. And by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Seek God first, and he goes on to say that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart. You know, the interesting thing about a guard is that's a military term. Think about that. That's a military term. What does a guard do? Think about what does a prison guard do? What does a prison guard do? He stops people from coming in. And he stops people from going out. Right? If the light board popped at him, just turn the other lights on. A prison guard guards the prison, right? Y'all can see me with the blue lights. There we go. We'll go old school. He stops people or things from coming in, right? You've seen the movies where the wife makes a cake and she puts a hacksaw in there, right? The prison guard stops the hacksaw from getting into the hands of the prisoner. At the same time, the prison guard stops the prisoner from hacksawing his way out of the prison. And it says the peace of God will guard your heart. How about this? The peace of God will stop external influence that comes to break your faith down. The peace of God will stop that from influencing your life. Why? Because you sought God. How about this? The peace of God will guard internal influence that wants to stop where you're at, to stop your walk with God from the inside out. The peace of God will guard your heart and say, I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to allow how my flesh feels. I'm not going to allow what my situation says. I'm not going to allow what the people around me say. Because the peace of God will guard your heart. Why? Because you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, all the different things. What you're going to eat, hey, listen, that'll be added to you. You're going to eat, all right? What you're going to wear, God's got you covered. He's not going to let you go naked. Where's my man David at? That's my man David over there. That's what Goodwill's for. Amen. It's a salvation. You say, Pastor Luke, I don't want to wear no salvation. Hey, listen, man, I'll do it. I'll wear it all the time. It's vintage. What you're going to do? Hey, listen, seek after God. I remember somebody asked me, Pastor Luke, how do I know if the person that I'm dating is the person I'm supposed to marry? I just answered them. I said, pray. And I said, dot, 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 pray some more, dot, dot, dot. Pray even more, dot, dot, dot. Then take a minute and pray, dot, dot, dot. And seek God. Why? Because listen, you're going to try to, hey, okay, you're going to look at all the external. You're going to look at all this. You're going to look at all that. Doesn't matter. Seek after God. All these things will be added unto you. God will give you the desires of your heart. The Bible says that God will do that through the will of God. God will put in your heart, hey, listen, is that the guy you're supposed to marry? God will tell you, or you will find out some other way. Because God will cover you because you're educated, because you're informed, because you're in the know, because you got God on your side. So today, as you walk out of the door, I don't got points. I don't got three points and do this and do that. I got Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It goes on to say, sufficient is tomorrow for its own worries. Don't even bother with it. Today's got enough. And I don't know about you, but today's issues have got enough for me to worry about that I have to not have to worry about tomorrow. Amen? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and do not allow your situation around you to determine your walk with God. But rather, be educated, be informed. Let the peace of God guard your heart, not just guide your heart, but guard it. Because people are going to tell you, don't make sense. Religion was for yesterday. Jesus Christ, that's just a crutch. Man, you got to be an idiot to believe in. Somebody posted that you got to be an idiot to believe in creationism. Hey, listen, man, I don't care what you say. God said it. That settles it. I believe it. That's just the way it goes for me. Because the peace of God guards my heart. And I won't allow outside to affect me. And I won't allow the inside to affect me. Because there are times, Pastor Luke will be honest with you. There are times when I don't want to do anything about it. There are times when I don't want to have faith. But the bottom line is the peace of God guards my heart. The peace of God guards your heart. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I know you're hungry. My stomach is rumbling.